Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, talk. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Well, good afternoon. This is Karen Cataline live this time. You've been listening to a recorded program because I had a crash. I had a computer crash, which happens in live radio. And so here I am with you, at least for the rest of the hour. We got to fill that time slot. And it just so happens that it's a day in which there is a tremendous amount of news. I could have done 3 hours today, but alas, the computers, they crashed. So that you got to always be on your toes. So we're going to get right to it. Today is Tuesday, December 5th, and it is indeed a, I'm getting a message that I get to do an hour. Wow, thanks, Mr. Engineer. I appreciate that. That's very kind. So I shall slow down and just go for it. This is a very busy news day. Among the things that are happening are we've got John Conyers stepping down because there was yet another accusation that he put his hand under a woman's dress in church. And so instead of stepping down and not going for re-election, as he said he would, he's stepping down today. Still, Democrats are situational in their ethics, aren't they? Today, it's step down immediately, but have you heard anything about Al Franken? So this is just a list of things that are going on. And then we'll get to the main topics of the day. There's just a lot. Robert Mueller subpoenas Trump in the Deutsche Bank records. He wants Trump's bank records. Does that have anything to do with collusion? No, not at all. The Democrats are frothing at the mouth over this whole thing. I'm going to be talking about that a little later, I hope. Russia was barred from the 2018 Olympics because the Democrats proved that they tampered with our elections? No. It was an unprecedented manipulation of the anti-doping system. That's why they've been barred from the 2018 Olympics. Oh, my. Trump told a boss today that he's moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. And now the sexual abuse scandals have hit the National Enquirer. Roy Moore is going to see his fate, yay or nay, December 12th. And by the way, Mitt Romney weighed in on this one. This was something else. So Roy Moore in the U.S. Senate, he said, would be a stain on the GOP and the nation. Lee Korfman and other victims are courageous heroes. No vote, no majority is worth losing our honor and our integrity. That is what Mitt Romney said. So without a court of law, without due process, Mitt Romney has proclaimed that Roy Moore is guilty, even though there's a huge amount of trouble with that accusation. Today, we've got people acting as judge, jury, and executioner if it fits their political agenda. And obviously, Mitt Romney is totally above any judgment whatsoever. And I'm being facetious. What is it with people who think that they are the only ones that ought not to be judged, but they can sit in judgment of everyone else? We all have opinions about Roy Moore, and guess what? We don't have all the facts yet. Anyway, here's what I wanted to start with, and here's what is just amazing. So last night, I'm watching Tucker Carlson. And Tucker Carlson is an amazing guy. He has a great show. And he among his many stories, put on a story about an investigator named Ami Horowitz. And Ami Horowitz went out to the UC Berkeley campus. Now, everybody knows that's a very liberal campus, but Ami Horowitz decided to go out on the campus and wave a giant U.S. United States flag. And you're going to hear a little audio in just a minute about what he heard. And then after that, I think you'll hear it in this little short soundbite, he decided to wave an ISIS flag. So, Doug, producer, why don't you go ahead and play that sound right now?
Greatest country on planet Earth that protects all freedoms, right? No? Greatest country in the world, right?
No. The opposite.
The opposite?
Complete opposite.
No? Why not?
Yeah, Canada's pretty great.
America.
This country.
America.
Wow. Why would you say that?
I wanted to see what the reaction would be with, well, another flag that's out there in the news.
I stand against America. ISIS protects Islam. I denounce the United States.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
Thank you.
I love that you're saying that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So much hatred for the United States of America. What you didn't hear was God F America. Have you ever heard? It's just mind boggling. And it isn't just the hatred. It's the ignorance, the stupidity. I don't think that they're cheering on. Well, maybe they are. I can't divine what they are thinking. But I got to thinking about that. It just floored me. And yet we all know that the left is fomenting hatred towards America. And these kids in UC Berkeley are marinating in this leftist claptrap. Excuse me. And hatred. So why, here's what I got to thinking. Why do we assume that they have America's best interests at heart when they support certain issues and causes? We all know what the left supports. They support open borders. They support socialism. They support wealth redistribution. They tend to stick up for criminals and try to go after law-abiding citizens. They're marvelous at, well, they never really met a law that they didn't like. So I got to thinking, we give them too much benefit of the doubt. Same with America hating the left. I mean, with the America hating left, we think that those policies, that we just have a difference of opinion, right? We just have a difference of opinion, and maybe they have America's best interests at heart. But truly, what if those policies are specifically designed to bring down America? I mean, if you hated America, why would you support policies that you think are going to make America better? That's what I'm getting at here. And we tend to always give these people the benefit of the doubt. We're always saying, well, I'll take them at their word. Why should we take them at their word? They've already said. Now, not everybody, but you know, the dedicated progressive left hates this country. And then they expect us to listen to them when they say that America ought to have open borders and America ought to let anyone in. They're cheering mass murderers. They're saying, you go, guy, because you're waving an ISIS flag. Look at this. I can't even talk. They're talking about cheering on the killing of Americans. How is that possible? And yet we argue policy with these people. Now, not all of the left is as honest as all of that, and not all of the left you know, viciously hates America, but their policies foment hatred of America. So we may agree more than we think. If they think those policies destroy America, so do we. They destroy the family. They destroy the culture. They demand dependency on the government. They demean work. They control the language and re-identify words. I was also watching Ben Shapiro last night. Brilliant young man. And he had the courage to say to a transgender person that he, she was delusional. And that person grabbed hold of the back of Ben Shapiro's neck. Forgive me for not remembering who that was. It was a man, you know, a transsexual man, and said, if you don't stop it, they're going to be calling an ambulance for you. And Ben Shapiro was, I strongly urge you to watch this video. I had to watch it 3 or 4 times. I couldn't believe it. And Ben Shapiro was amazingly calm. And then do you know what? All of the people on that panel ended up going after Ben Shapiro for offending this transsexual. Now, you know, whether you agree or you don't agree that he or she is delusional, is this where we're going in this country, which apparently in some ways it is, that you're allowed to threaten and grab someone by the back of the neck, and then you are the one who's being demeaned for having offended somebody? This is the most twisted thinking I have ever seen. And that's probably going to be the theme for this program, this twisted program, which we're going to have some twisted thinking. Now, I don't mind ending here at 3 p.m., by the way, Mr. Doug, because I think unless, of course, we have some callers, it's really okay. It's, you know, it's been an hour and we've had some strange goings on here. If you would like to join me and express your opinion and spout off, you are welcome to call at 888-627-6008, or you can call direct at 323-744-4831. So it doesn't upset the left very much about the things that upsets the rest of us. Nancy Pelosi said that the tax bill that is being pushed through the Senate, and you would think that it was like a heroic effort because you're getting supposed Republicans to actually agree on a tax cut when they have the votes to pass it, but they don't act like Republicans. But when asked what she thought about this tax cut, which is going to help people and actually help people keep more of the money they actually earned, Nancy Pelosi said, well, it's Armageddon. So this is what upsets the left. If they cannot control you and more of your money, then they call it Armageddon. But you know what doesn't upset the left? What doesn't seem to upset the left is Kate Steinle's death. They are still out there feeling sorry for the illegal alien who was deported 5 times and just acquitted of her murder. That's what they don't get too upset about. They don't get too upset about a person who, I don't know, maybe it's because she happens to be white and they don't like white people much. But she was standing there with her father and a bullet boomeranged, ricocheted, and hit her in the back and killed her. They don't get much upset about that. They don't get very upset about mass murders when they are found to be committed by ISIS T. terrorists. If they can make it about guns, then they'll get upset. But if it's about terrorists, they're not upset. So this is a twisted world in which we're living in. Their politics are dictated by it's situational ethics. They don't really hold themselves to much of a standard about trying to be fair and just. And yet they claim to be social justice warriors. Now, you know, I don't understand it. So I did have a lot on the schedule, but I wanted to talk to you about what I've been busy doing lately. I had my first op-ed posted in the Daily Caller. And so it was quite an odyssey trying to determine how to write an editorial that might get picked up. And you have to be really wired. You have to be really, really upset. And then you can write a good editorial. So since there's so much going on, since there's way so much going on, it wasn't that difficult. And also, it's really interesting. On some of these websites, things happen very, very quickly. Things happen way quickly. And so you send it in today, and if you're fortunate and blessed, it's in the next day. So here is the piece that I was responding to. I'll just give you a little taste of what the piece was that got me so riled up that I wrote an editorial about it. Jews would be foolish to trust Mike Pence or the Christian right. Now, some of you have been listening to me for a while know that I'm Jewish. I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. And here is a guy. Now, this is stuff, if you're Jewish and you happen to be conservative, which is a rare occurrence, let me tell you, you're very used to being a minority within a minority. I know I am. I belong to a lot of groups that are traditionally liberal. I won't go into it now. And so the very first opening line of this fellow from Salon says, "It should be obvious, but evangelical Christians' reasons for claiming to love Israel are deeply creepy." And he goes on to throw an enormous amount of hate and ugliness towards Christians. It's funny how the left used to talk about stereotyping all the time. Racist stereotypes. Remember, it was about 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. No, maybe more like a decade or so, when they really went into full swing about the racist politics. Everything they don't like is racist, bigoted, homophobic. And the way that they got that going was to say that that's a racist stereotype. If you like watermelon, it's a racist stereotype. Everything was a racist stereotype. Well, a stereotype means that you're applying a broad general standard to a certain person who happens to belong to a certain group. And they, being the moral arbiters, don't think you should be doing that, right? You should judge people more like, as an individual instead of as a member of a group. But if it happens to be Christians that you're judging, it's perfectly fine to apply as many stereotypes as you want to them. That is okay. So here, the writer says that too many Jews are willing to forge an unholy alliance with those holier-than-thou crowd. You know, you should never, ever trust those Christians, even though they support the state of Israel more vociferously than a good many Jews do. And so what this writer, I'm not using his name here, but I certainly don't mind to, Matthew Rosa is his name, from Salon, is that you really cannot trust them because they may have impure motives. So that's the problem. They have impure motives, and their reasons for supporting Israel are suspect. And what he goes on to say is that Mike Pence, when he was giving a speech in favor of the state of Israel, actually it was like a 70-year celebration on the day that the UN had granted Israel the status of being a sovereign state, he used the term, he dared, I don't know, to use the term, quote, hand of heaven. All right, well, I had never heard that term before, the hand of heaven. And here you have this guy thinking that that's an evil, sinister phrase. So I began to look that up, and I began to think about, well, what does that mean? So I asked a bunch of my Christian friends, and I said, so what does the hand of heaven mean? And they said, well, it means that God has his hand on the universe, and he's directing he, she. See, God does have something in common with the transsexuals. Because as a Jew, we don't really, we only use the term he or she to give us a way to talk about it, but we don't really think that God is a he or a she. Nonetheless, and evidently, neither does the guy who assaulted Ben Shapiro. Well, actually, I think he thinks she's a she, but that's a different story. So the hand of heaven, here we have him thinking it's something horrible and awful, and it's a sinister plot against Jews. First of all, Jews often think about the reason that they mistrust Christians. There's a whole two-hour discussion about this, but they distrust them partly because they think that Christians still want to convert us all, and a great many do, and that they have this ideology, this theology that says that the only way that they can bring about end times is if all the Jews go back to Israel and convert to Christianity or die. And so Jews have been taught to be very, very suspicious of Christians. And so I took issue with all of this. By the way, here's another thing that our friend Matthew Rosa, here's I'm struggling around doing the Rush Limbaugh thing, said. He said that Jews like myself must resist the temptation to perceive these folks as our friends. They're not, and they never will be. Now, before I talk about my piece, and I would urge you to go, if you would, if you'd like, go to Daily Caller and click on Opinion and scroll down a little bit, and that's today, and you will see my piece. There's a beautiful heart with a Jewish star in it, and it features my piece. I will probably post it on my website at www.karencataline.com. I have been posting it on Facebook today, and you can read the piece in its entirety. I would love your comments and your thoughts, but let me read that to you again. Jews like myself must resist the temptation to perceive these folks as our friends. They're not, and they never will be. That committed leftist, just imagine if he said that about any other group. White people like myself must resist the temptation to perceive these folks as our friends. Those black people, they're not my friends, and they never will be. Anyone. So what is head scratching about all of this is that the very people that have been lecturing us that we're all racist, bigots, homophobes, and they should know, in fact, they do know, because they are the ones who are projecting. Let me give you a definition there. Projecting means that you attribute qualities in yourself to others. So they are projecting their own racist thoughts and feelings and hatred onto other people. Now, what they hate, apparently, are whites and Christians. Oh, and do they hate Christians? So the title of my piece says, "Hey, liberals, stop Christianophobia." Okay, I just made that up. Christianophobia. So you'll have to read it to find out exactly. I think it's fairly self-explanatory what Christianophobia is. But so that is what I wrote about. We have only about 8 minutes left, and we are going to talk a little bit about the biggest issue of the day. And here I've only gotten started. But really, I have another appointment, and this little snafu here today made it a little difficult. But I will talk about this again next week, and we'll start fresh. What I want to talk about is one of the most important cases affecting every single one of us went before the Supreme Court today. It just so happens that I've been following this case for a while. I actually talked about it with at least one or two of the other BBS radio hosts. It is what is known as the Jack Phillips Masterpiece Cake Shop case. And today, December 5th, 2017, that case was, the oral arguments were heard in the Supreme Court. This is huge for a whole bunch of reasons, and I'm going to just tell you a few. I live in the area, although I don't live in Denver. I call it living in flyover country, of which I'm quite proud, I should tell you. And for those of you who don't know, Jack Phillips owns a little tiny bake shop that does cakes, cookies, and wedding cakes called the Masterpiece Cake Shop in Englewood, Colorado. About 4.5 or 5 years ago, two gay men, this was in 2012, it's 5 years ago now, gay marriage, the decision had not come down from the big nine in the black robes telling us all that gay marriage was now legal. It was a contentious issue all around the country, and it was not legal in Colorado. And yet, and I'll give you the inside story of this, two lesbian women came in shopping Jack, knowing full well that Jack was a Christian, and asked him to bake a cake for their wedding. He said no. That same day, or not long after, two gay men who'd gotten married in Massachusetts sat down at Jack's table, where he talks with them about making for them a custom, and I'm saying all this with emphasis, wedding cake. There wasn't much said between the two of them, between the three of them, I should say. And Jack, who's the owner and the creator of the wedding cakes, told them that he'd be glad to sell them a cake off the shelf, but that he would have to decline creating a gay wedding cake, a wedding cake for their wedding. They started screaming obscenities. They yelled and stomped out of the store. Very little discussion was made. And from this has come this Supreme Court case. In a nutshell, while the left is jumping up and down and screaming, remember, they're not upset about Kate Steinle. They're not upset about terrorists or mass murderers, but they are upset that a Christian told them to go down the street to another cake shop. Millions of other cake shops would have been happy to make that cake for them. They want to force Jack Phillips to make that cake. Now, why this is so important is because it's one thing for the government to tell you you can't do stuff, especially as it relates to the First Amendment. But it's yet another thing for the government to tell you that you must do stuff. This makes me crazy. Now, remember, Melania Trump incurred such wrath from the hoity-toity designers of clothing. They said they would never design any of her clothes when Trump was inaugurated. Trump didn't go after them and said that they were forced to create and design clothing for Melania. And yet, two gay guys go into a cake shop and force Jack Phillips to bake them a gay wedding cake. By the way, and we are coming to the end here, by the way, Jack Phillips was ordered by two administrative judges to be to get basically re-educated and to be monitored whether he turned away anybody. So he finally, in order to keep his principles, whether you agree with them or not, I don't care. I don't. He was forced to stop making gay wedding cakes altogether. He has not made a wedding cake for 4.5 years, lost 40% of his business. Think about that. A man lost 40% of his business because he didn't agree with the majority telling them what he should do. This is an outrage. So we're not going to hear the end of this case until possibly June, when we'll hear what the decision is. They take an awful long time to make these decisions. It is unfortunate, in my opinion, that the Supreme Court has as much power as it does. It has way too much power, in my humble opinion. Our whole lives should not turn on 9 people in black robes who weren't even elected. And I fully 100% disagree with the gay marriage decision, not because I'm against gay people, but because to redefine marriage, in my opinion, is yet another attack on Christians. And I'm not a Christian. But if you attack Christians and people who feel accountable to a higher authority other than the government, then you can affect greater socialism in this country. We're going to stop it right here, and we're going to make a fresh start next week when I will be with you again and give you an opportunity to spout off. I want to thank Doug, my producer, for helping me through this little snafu. HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week, Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, when we'll have more of Spouting Off.